We've had a busy week this past week. We saw an awesome salvation on Wednesday, and we got the concert cookout, and we didn't have quite the numbers that we did the previous year, but that's probably because it was 1,000 degrees outside. So it made a lot of sense. If it was me, I would have struggled probably getting to the concert cookout. But we probably prayed with more people than we definitely did the year before. So thanks, you know, Phil and Brian and Jeremy, and we had a couple ladies from Huntington Baptist. It was amazing. You know, I got to pray with a lot of people that felt broken, that didn't know where they were going. I know Phil prayed with the same thing, and I know you two did as well. The Lord is doing a lot. I know Bob and the Coveys, they were at the back-to-school bash, and they served like 850 meals there. The Lord is doing things. Amen, church? And Susan. Sorry, Susan. Susan served way over 850 meals in her life. The Lord is good. Amen, church? Amen. I love to get to preach. I think Phil Fisher would probably say the same thing. We get to preach quite a bit. Most young pastors don't get to do that. So I feel obligated this morning. I was sitting in my office this week and I was thinking, man, I've been preaching for a while in this church. I've been preaching for, well, next month will be 6 years. 6 years I've got to preach in this church. And thank you for the claps, but I hope you clap for yourself, because I think Phil Fisher would say the same. Man, we get a lot of encouragement in this church. You guys have been a big blessing in my life, because I've heard a lot of horror stories from young pastors. The church just isn't very good to me. They don't like me, but oh, I get to say, oh, well, my church, they encourage me to keep following the will of God. So thank you, church. I know Phil Fisher would say the same thing. It's such a wonderful blessing to get to do. I love the songs that we sang. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen, church. What an awesome friend we have in Jesus. There's no friend like Jesus who sticks closer than a brother. Amen, church. Amen. And it is a reckless love. Why is it so reckless? Because it doesn't make any sense that God would send his son to die on the cross for me. Oh, what a love. What a reckless love. It doesn't make any sense why he would love us the way that he does. But oh, how does he love us? The Lord is so good and amazing, church. Amen. Amen. This is why we should speak the name of Jesus. I love the sermon that Phil gave on Wednesday. Specifically the verse where Paul says, I'm obligated to both the Greeks and the Jews to speak the name of Jesus, to share the gospel. Oh, wow, I wish Christians today would feel obligated to share the awesome friend that they have. I wish they would feel obligated to speak the name of Jesus because of the reckless love he's given us. Amen, church? Amen. The Lord is so good and so amazing. Psalms 34:8, listen to it closely. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Amen, church. Taste and see that the Lord is good. It is so obvious that he is good to us. It is so obvious that he is good to us. So obvious that the Lord is good and amazing. So good he's given us callings in our life. Callings in our life. I believe every believer has two callings. We all have a universal calling. What is that? To make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We all have that universal, but I believe we all have a personal calling of God. Every single one of you in here, I think the Lord wants to use you for something. It will look different. I think we all have different. My calling is to preach, but that doesn't mean everybody's calling is to preach as I'm up here today. The Lord has so many jobs and so many opportunities to work in the kingdom of God. Oh, praise him that he gives us callings in our life. And listen to me, there is no greater calling than a call from the Lord. There is no greater call than a calling from the Lord. It might be tough. It might be hard at times. Listen to me closely, church. It is hard at times. It's not always very easy, but it is so good. Because there is no calling like a calling from the Lord. And this is something that we've been learning this past few Sundays with Paul's Macedonian call. He has this big call, this huge call, and there's many Christians today that have been called by God and they're refusing to go. Maybe you're there right now. Maybe you know that you're supposed to be doing something in your life and you're refusing to go. Oh, I've been there. Oh, when the Lord called me to preach, oh, wow, did I refuse to go. I do not like to get up in front and talk to people. I definitely didn't feel like I was adequate enough to share the awesome news, the awesome word of God. I didn't feel adequate. I said, Lord, I don't think so. Pick somebody else. And the Lord was gracious to me. He was patient with me. And I know he's gracious and patient with you to let us choose to follow him, to let us choose to follow the calling that he's given us. But there are many Christians today that have called and called by the holy God, the awesome God, the righteous God, and they're saying no. Refusing to go. So let me ask you, church, are you being called and refusing to go? Because listen to me, if you're being called, there's no peace, there's no joy when you say, no, I'm not going to go. The Lord's not going to bless you if he's called you to go somewhere and you say, no, I'm not going to go anywhere. Listen to the story of Jonah. Listen to me, when Jonah said no to the calling that God had, there was no joy and no peace in his life. Swallowed up. Swallowed up by a big fish. And he didn't stay in there for a second. No, he stayed in there for 3 days. Miserable. And let me just testify, church, it is miserable when you say no to the Lord. It is miserable when you say no to the Lord. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 is where we're going to be at this morning. Let me give you a little bit of context. Maybe refresh your mind. Maybe you haven't been here the times that Jimmy has done this Macedonian call. But we see Paul receive this vision of this Macedonian man. And in this vision, this man is saying, come and help us. Come and help us. And then Paul and his team, they realize, oh, we got to go to Macedonia. And we have to share the gospel with them. The Lord didn't want us to go here or there. The Lord wants us to go to Macedonia. And why? Well, what have we seen so far? We've seen Paul and his team. They go up to this woman named Lydia. She's a maker of purple. She's got a lot of money, but she knows the Lord, but she doesn't know Jesus. Oh, listen to me, church. You have to know Jesus. And not only did Lydia come to believe in the Lord, her whole family came to believe in the Lord. And then we see in Acts chapter 16 with this demon-possessed woman. Sometimes maybe we would leave this part out, but this demon-possessed woman was running after Paul, saying all these things over and over and over again. And Paul was so annoyed, he says, come out, evil spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ. And the spirit left her. Wow, God is doing an amazing work. And then we see this awesome story with the jailer. Oh, some bad things happened to Paul and Silas, and they wound up in jail, but they're so excited because of what the Lord has already been doing that they can't help but praise him. They can't help but praise the name. They're in shackles and chains. You would think they would be miserable, but they're so excited that they're singing praises, and their praises were so loud, and God moved, and he shook the jail, and he made an earthquake, and the jail cells are open. And you say, oh, yeah, they're free. Well, they say, no, we're not leaving yet because there's someone still here in the jail who needs saved, and it's the jailer. And oh, wow, what an amazing piece that story was, that the jailer became, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe in the name of Jesus Christ. And he believed in the name of Jesus Christ. Him and his whole household. God is saving families. God is still saving families. Some of you need to hear that today. God is still saving families. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, he's still saving families. This is where we lead up to this part here. They were just in Philippi. They're moving to Thessalonica. Acts chapter 17, verse 1 says, when Paul and his companions had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. And this Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah, he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. See, Paul here, he's doing what he's always done. He's going into the synagogue. He's preaching for three Sabbath days, 3 weeks. And what does it say here? He says he used the scriptures to reason with the people. He used the scriptures as evidence. Oh, wow, I wish that believers today, when sharing the gospel, would use the one thing that can change their life, the word of God. The scriptures. I love this about Paul here. He says he used the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. This was a huge stumbling block for the people then, that, oh, wow, it doesn't make sense that this Messiah had to come and suffer. He's supposed to be the king. He's supposed to be a ruler. You're not supposed to suffer and die. But here Paul is showing them through the Old Testament that Jesus was supposed to die and rise from the dead. And I love this. It says, this Jesus I'm proclaiming to you is the Messiah. The one that you've been longing for, the one that you've been looking for, Jesus is the Messiah. And let me tell you, church, when you obey the calling of God, even when things get tough, expect God to move in your life. Expect God to move in other people's lives. When you do what you're supposed to do, when you follow what God wants you to do, expect God to move in your life, in the people's lives around you. Oh, because He will. Oh, wow, is He so faithful. He is so faithful to us when we are faithful. And listen to me, God is so faithful even when we're not faithful. Even when we mess up and screw up, He gives us time to get it right. When we obey the calling, expect the Lord to move, because He will. We see that in this story right here. They pass through, they go to Thessalonica, and he stays there for 3 weeks right here, and he's persuading. And then what does it say? It says some of the Jews were persuaded to join Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. People came to Christ. People came to Christ. There's no greater thing. Church, listen to me. There's no greater thing than people coming to Christ. If you're a believer, if you're a believer in Christ, there's no greater thing than watching somebody come to Christ. I've seen a lot of things in my life. I'm still young. There's still a lot for me to see. But so far, the best thing I've ever seen is people come to Christ. I just can't help but smile. I can't help but be filled with joy when I see someone realize that they need salvation and they come to it. That's why I love seeing Carter come to Christ on Wednesday. So amazing. So wonderful. So wonderful. Expect the Lord to move, but also expect this, verse 5. But other Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace and formed a mob and started a riot in the city. They rushed out to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out, in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other believers before the city official, shouting, "These men have caused trouble all over the world. Now I have come here." And Jason had welcomed them into his house. "They all are defying Caesar's decree, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus." When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil, and they made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. Listen to me. When you start to obey the will of God, expect the dark side to come. This is something that we've learned throughout this Macedonian call. It's kind of a huge theme in the book of Acts, that when God starts to move, so does the dark side. When the Lord starts to move, so does the dark side. Things might happen in your life. We see here in this passage that the Lord is doing awesome things. A large number of people are coming to Christ, and then the dark side gets these Jews jealous, and they start a riot. They get some people. They're looking for Paul and Silas. They don't finally find this man named Jason, the man who is graciously, maybe he has the gift of hospitality. We don't know much about Jason, but he let his home open to Paul and Silas. Maybe that's where the early church was. So they drag Jason out. They probably beat him around, whatever. They probably did all sorts of things, but they testify these two things. The dark side. Testify to, I think, pretty good things. What does it say here? It says in verse 6, it says, "But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other believers before the city official, shouting, 'These men have caused trouble all over the world and have now come here.'" Some of your translations might say, "They have turned the world upside down." Oh, wow, if that could be your testimony, church. If that could be your testimony, wow, New Life is turning the world upside down. A Christian is supposed to be turning the world upside down. What does that mean? It means you're living completely different than the world. What the world didn't understand back here in Acts is that the Christian, the believer, was trying to turn the world right side up. This is what you're supposed to do as a believer in Jesus Christ, is try to turn the world right side up. But from the world's perspective, it looks like you're turning it upside down. If that could be your testimony, church, if that could be your testimony that, oh, wow, I'm trying to turn the world upside down. How do you do that? You share the one who turns it right side up. You share Christ. I don't have the power by myself to turn the world upside down. You don't have the power to change lives. You don't have the power to save lives. But you know the one who does. That's Christ. You know the one who can change a person's heart. You know the one who can change their whole life. It's Christ and Christ alone. There's no one who can do it like Christ. There's no one that can do it like Jesus Christ. When you surrender to the calling in your life, whatever that may be, it's taking a step to turning the world right side up. When you obey the Lord, because the Lord knows more than we do. The Lord knows what we have, what we need, what we can do. And when we obey Him, we obey the will of the Father. It's a step in turning the world right side up. And they do it, they give another testimony here. It says they are defying Caesar's decree, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus. Oh, wow, is that so true, church? There is one king, and His name is Jesus. Amen, church? Amen. You serve this king if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. There's no better king. There's no more righteous king. And there's no more loving king than Jesus. Oh, wow. He's not a king that destroys us or throws us against the ground that we see in the Old Testament with all those different types of king. Oh, no, He's a loving king. He's a gracious king, a merciful king, a righteous king. The author of all those things. That's the king you serve. I love the testimony that this crowd gives. They're turning the world upside down, and they've now come here. The place you work, would they say that? The place you go, would they say that about you? Can Fort Wayne Metal say, man, all these people from New Life, they're starting to turn this company upside down. That's your goal, church. That's your goal. Amen? Amen. Some of us are not called like Paul. Sometimes we feel like that if we don't live up to the things that Paul's done, we're failing. But we're not all called like Paul was. We're not all called to go to Philippi and then all the places in Macedonia. Some of us are called to Fort Wayne Metals. Some of us are called to serve here at New Life. Some of us are called to go overseas and share the gospel. But there's one thing that's true. You have to share the gospel and all those things. Some of us are called like Jason. Sometimes Jason gets looked over in this passage. But you know what Jason was doing? Exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. Well, what was he doing? Like I said, we don't know a lot about him, but he was helping the believer. Opening up his home. Maybe that is where the early church was. Maybe he was having church in his home. Some of us are called to have the gift of hospitality. That's what the Lord wants you to do. Open up your home. Love on the believer. Encourage the believer. Give. Pray. Have mercy. All those different things. Don't think if you aren't a preacher that you're not enough. Or God hasn't called me yet. Some of us are called to have the gift of hospitality or giving or mercy or all those different gifts of the Spirit. Be glad where God has you. If He's called you to something, be glad you're there because there's no better place. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. Verse 10. So they let him go. They postponed. They let him go. And then verse 10, it says, as soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. And on arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, the Berean Jews were of noble character than those of Thessalonica. For they received the message with great eagerness and explained the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. As a result, many of them believed, as did a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. See, we see Paul here. He has to leave. It's getting too much pressure. The mob was getting too great. The crowd was getting too riotty. It was getting too hard for Paul to be here. So the Thessalonican Jews, or the believers there, they said, you got to go. We got to get you out of here. And so they moved on to the next place. But what did we see from Paul here? He never stopped doing his calling. Even when things got hard, Paul never stopped doing his calling. What does it say here? It says on arriving there, he went to the Jewish synagogue. He went to the place that he was there. He went to the place where God wanted him to be. And, but now this is different. It says now the Berean Jews were a more noble character than Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness. Many of you have shared the gospel with certain people, and they typically do kind of fall into two categories. Some of them laugh or don't want anything to do with it, or others really do receive it with great eagerness, wanting to know more. Paul here is using the scriptures, it's like they got their Bibles open. This is why Jimmy just last week, I believe, said, don't just take our word for it, open up your Bibles. See if what we're saying is true. This is why we have Bibles. I'm not the only one with a Bible in this church. I'm glad God's given us his word. Every believer has access to his word. Even believers that it's illegal for them, man, they do whatever they can to have access to it. Because there's no greater peace to have than the word of God. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. You see him there. It's such a beautiful thing. And it says, as a result of all this, it says, many of them believed, as did a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. You see a lot of people coming to Christ because Paul's willing. Paul's willing, even when it gets tough, to remain in his calling, to remain where he needs to be. And Paul had to leave the first place, but he never stopped it. He never stopped fulfilling his calling. And many Christians turn back right here. Think about it. A crowd starts getting riled up because of the things you're saying, truthful things about the Lord Jesus Christ. It would make sense to the world to give up. But you're not called to give up. You're called to keep pushing, even when things do get tough and rough when sharing the gospel or in your calling. Many Christians turn back. You know what happens when you get lost in your calling? I wonder if Paul did this a lot. Maybe he didn't. He always seemed so solid. But I know there's times in my life, and I know others have said it to me as well. You get lost in their calling, meaning that they've lost track of where they're supposed to go. Turn back to where you were called. I wonder if Paul many times was like, oh Lord, I remember when you came in a vision. And you told me, you said you had this Macedonian man say, come and help me. Many times we have to go back to where God first called us. Because it can get tough. You can get lost. But when you turn back and say that the Lord is good and where you called me, Lord, I'm going to keep going. Turn back to when you first were called. If you know what your calling is. Many of us don't even know what our calling is. Can I tell you, it's not that hard to figure it out. Pray to the Lord and ask him. Ask him what you're supposed to do in your life. And can I tell you, he'll answer you. Amen? Amen. Paul never stopped. He never stopped his calling. Many Christians today are. And I wonder what the outcome might be if they didn't. Maybe you're not in the greatest spot in your life because you told God no. Can I tell you, it's not that hard to turn back. Amen, church? Amen. They were eager, and many people believed. But let's see what happened in verse 13. It says, but when the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God at Berea, some of them went there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up. And the believers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed at Berea. Those who escorted Paul brought him to Athens and then left it with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible. We see those that riot that was in Thessalonica, they're like, we heard Paul's in Berea, let's go. We're gonna start a riot there, and that's exactly what happened. Listen to me, sometimes even if you change places, in locations, the dark side's still nipping at your heels. Just because Paul moved from a different city doesn't mean the dark side forgot about him. The dark side is still there. It's still nipping at Paul's heels. And many of us, we give up because the dark side's pushing so much, not realizing that God is powerful enough to shed the light on the dark side. Amen? Amen. Just because God moves you to a different place, maybe He changes your calling, doesn't mean it's going to be smooth sailing. This is why I always tell people who think Christianity is going to be so easy. It's not. Christianity, following Christ, is not easy. It is difficult in this world, but it is worth it. Amen, church? Even though it's so difficult in your life, it is the most, it is worth it more than anything else to follow God. It is worth it more than anything you could ever have in your life. Following the Lord is worth every single step. There's no one like Christ in our life. To follow the awesome Savior that saved your life. There's nothing like it. Let's move on in verse 16. We're not going to read this whole piece, but in verse 16, I think it's important for us to at least see this. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. See, many of us, we look around and we see, even in Huntington, listen to me, this world is full of idols. This world is full of idols, and it should greatly distress us to see a world that is full of idols. We should care about it. We should feel obligated to share the one that can change a heart, to change a mind, and all those different things. In verse 22, we see Paul here. He's talking with these people that are very smart in Athens. They're philosophers and all these, a totally different type of people than who he's been talking with. In verse 22, he says, Paul then stood up in a meeting in the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious, for as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with the inscription to an unknown God. So you are ignorant of the very thing that you worship, and this is what I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life in breath, and everything else. For one man he made all nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times and histories and the boundaries of their lands. God did so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and more and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, 'We want to hear you again on this subject.' At that, Paul left the council. Some of the people became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, and a woman named Demarius, and a number of others." We see Paul here talking with some really smart people, but I love what he proclaims in this part where he says, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth." Amen, church? Is he so amazing, church? And I love this. It says, "God did all this so that we would seek him and perhaps reach out to him." He is not far from any one of us. Church, God is not far from you if you do not know him. If you don't have salvation, don't think the Lord's very far. He's not far from any one of us. The Lord has done all that he's done so that you might reach out and seek him. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Seek the Lord with all your heart. For in him we live and move and have our being. These people didn't understand the very thing that they worshipped, not realizing that the one that they were ignorant of was the one who made all things. Can I tell you that there's still people today who are ignorant of that? Can I tell you, on Thursday when we had the concert cookout, I could about bet out of the little over 200 people that were up there, some of them did not know about this God. And we got to share the gospel with them. We got to pray with them. And even though it says in this passage, in verse 32, when it said some of them heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered. They laughed. They threw it out. But it says, but others said, "We want to hear you again. We want to know more about this." Can I tell you, even at the concert cookout, listen to me closely, church, there were people up there that sneered. But can I promise you this? There were others who said, oh, wow, I would love to know more about this. Seeds, church. Seeds. This is what we're called to plant. We're not called to make it grow. We're just called to plant the seeds. I love this piece because I think it's very true. You do not stop just because people sneer. You do not stop sharing the name of Christ just because people laugh at you. It's too important. Because there's always others who need to know Christ. There's people in your families today that probably laugh. I know there's people in my family that laugh at me for being a believer in Christ. But I know there's others in my family that want to know more. And I have an obligation to share it with them. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. This is the gospel. Right here. The good news, the awesome news. They claim to be smart. They claim to be intelligent. But they don't know the truth. There's people living in the world today that say the same thing. I'm so smart, I'm so intelligent, I know all things. There's people that say that, but they don't know the most basic truth you can know. The most important truth is I need the Lord. I need Christ. Don't stop sharing the gospel. It's the most important message. See, I think Paul would give a report. If Paul could give a report on his Macedonian call, this is how I think it would go. I don't think it would be filled with all the negative things, the jails and the riots and the crowds. This is what I think he would say. I think, oh wow, the Lord, he sent me to Macedonia. I saw a man and he cried out for help. So I had to go. I had to go to Macedonia. I had to share the gospel. When I got there, I met this woman named Lydia. Oh, she knew God, but she didn't know of Christ. I had to share Christ with her, and I shared Christ with her, and she and her whole household was saved, and we saw this demon possessed woman, and oh wow, she had an evil spirit, so we cast that spirit out in the name of Jesus Christ, and we saw this jailer, and this jailer was in the cell, and we saw God do amazing things in this jail cell. The prisoners in the jailer all saw these amazing things, and he walked up to us. Why he even asked us, I don't know. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And we shared with them the greatest name that anyone could ever know. It's the name of Jesus Christ, and if you believe in him, you'll be saved. And he's like, we got to tell my whole household. And then we went to his house, and we baptized him, and his whole household was saved. And then we get to Thessalonica, and listen to me, all these people there, they don't know Jesus, and many of them came to Christ, even Gentiles. Even Gentiles came to Christ. We went to Berea, and there's a lot of persecution that was coming after us, but we didn't care because Jesus is more powerful than the dark side. He's more powerful than the darkness. And many people came to Christ, and I got to Athens. It's filled with a lot of idols, and it was so horrible, but I had to share with them the one true and living God. And many came to Christ. Many came to Christ. And this is what I want our report to be at New Life, is if we follow the calling of God, many people believe. That's what I want our report to be at New Life. We followed what the Lord wanted us to do, and many people believed. There's no greater report, I think, that you could have in your life. Dave and Kim followed the Lord. Many people believed. All of us. There's no greater report. You follow the Lord, and many people came to Christ. All the ministries that we ever do, the ones we have now, the greatest report that they could have is we did what the Lord wanted us to do, and many people believed. It's the thing that changes lives. Well, why do we struggle doing God's call? Really, two things: sin and fear. Can I tell you, you can't do the will of God if you have sin in your life. This is why in that little awesome testimony that Paul gives to the Athenians here, he says he's looked over all those things and commands everyone to repent. If you want to follow God, your first step is dealing with the sin in your life. But there's many Christians today that are afraid. Afraid of what the Lord might do. Afraid that the Lord's actually going to use them. Afraid that what people might think or what people might do. Listen to me, none of that means anything. Don't be afraid of the name of Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid of what he's done in your life. Let me encourage you with some verses. Listen to them closely. Let me encourage you, church. You've encouraged me in my calling. You've encouraged me to remain a pastor here at New Life, and I thank you very much for that. But let me encourage you with Joshua 1:9. It says, Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous, and do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen, church. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. John 16:33, it's a wonderful verse. Listen to it closely. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace, and in the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen, church? Amen. Psalms 34:4 says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. And Romans 15:13 says, May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Listen to me, if that doesn't encourage you, knowing that the Lord is with you wherever you go, that he didn't give you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And if it doesn't encourage you that Jesus has overcome the world, it doesn't matter what you go through, because Jesus has conquered the world. He's overcome it. And I love the promise in Psalms 34:4. It says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. That's the God you serve. That's the Lord you serve. If you're afraid to share the gospel, if you're afraid to go where God wants you to go, listen to me. Seek the Lord and he'll give you courage. There's many times I've been afraid to go where God wants me to go. And he says, seek me. Seek me and I'll deliver you from all your fears. From all your fears. Some of us today are called to do amazing things. Amazing things for the Lord. But you won't do those amazing things if you don't first surrender to it. I'll share maybe a more personal note with my calling. Maybe he said the same thing to you, Phil. I don't know. But I was struggling with a calling in my life to become a pastor. And I went up to Jimmy and I said, hey, I'm struggling with this calling. I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should do it or not do it, or all the questions we all have when we don't know if the Lord's telling us to do something or not. And Jimmy said to me, he said, until you surrender to it, you'll have no peace. Until you surrender to the calling in your life, you will have no peace in your life. And I've taken that to heart. It is scary at times. But there's no peace outside of the Lord's will. There's no peace outside of the Lord's will. Oh, wow, I hope you know you have to remain faithful in your calling. This is what we see through this Macedonian call. This amazing call. Got to stay faithful. You got to endure and persevere. Because it's worth it. Because many people believed. It's worth it. To remain in your calling, because the Lord is moving. Because the Lord is moving. See, I want to see Christians following the Lord. Because where the Lord is, there's freedom. Amen, church? Where the Lord is, there's freedom. There's peace. There's joy with the Lord. Awesome, awesome, amazing thing. I lack nothing. I lack nothing with the Lord. So why run from him? If I lack nothing with the Lord, if he's given me all things, he's made all things, and in all things is his, why would I run from him? Maybe you're running this morning. Maybe you're running for what God wants you to do. Maybe you don't know your calling. Seek, knock, and the door will be opened. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying in your life. Don't stop praying. Amen, church. Amen. Let's stand.